Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 16 through 18. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, that they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You may be seated. Continuing in our study in Matthew, Wednesday night we were looking at the previous verses about forgiving others. And I'll read the verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Now let me start by saying, forgiving others is not a work we have to do to be saved. But if we are saved, we will forgive others. Salvation is based on faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done, not what we do or what we don't do. But if we have a heart attitude that is right with God, understanding how much we have been forgiven, we will also be forgiving to others. Our society today is full of bitter people that don't want to forgive others. They want to hold grudges. They want to blame the other person and never accept responsibility themselves. You know, when you're driving, you see it a lot. Someone cuts you off, and your attitude is not forgiveness, but your attitude is often what the world has of, I'll show him he was wrong. Now, the reverse is also true. You cut somebody off and you're mad at them, they didn't slow down for you. We always want to blame the other person because that's what the society tells us. Our society is full of victim mentality. It is somebody else's fault. Well, sin is our fault. We have chosen to sin. Now, when Jesus said in the prayer, pray, lead us not to temptation. Well, there are situations that if we respond inappropriately can lead to sin. But it is not the situation that causes us to sin. It's what we do with the situation. There's nothing you can do to prevent bad things happening. They're going to happen. But what are you going to do? Well, we are called to forgive. Now, we need to remember what we've been forgiven of. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we've broken every one of God's commandments, as well as the other 603 that are listed in the Scripture. We are guilty before God. I remember someone once said, you know, why do I feel guilty? Because you're guilty. Guilt is a reminder we're sinners. But Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died so that our sins could be covered. And as he was at the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness is an attitude of looking at the other person's situation and not holding them accountable, not bringing it up again. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. Some people say, well, I can never forgive that because I can't trust. There's two different things. Forgiveness is never bringing up the situation again unless it benefits the individual. Jesus has forgiven us our sin. And it's impossible for God to forget. God doesn't forget our sins. It says he puts them as far as the east is for the west. We can forget. We can forget what verse we're on. We can forget birthdays. Hopefully nobody in Burton's birthday, like Arabella on Friday. Mom, Dad, don't forget. Okay. Well, God doesn't forget. And it's more powerful, his forgiveness. Even though he knows and hasn't forgot our sins, he has chosen not to bring it to our account again. He has washed away the debt of our sin because he loves us. And when we understand how much we've been forgiven, we will forgive others. Jesus gave an example of a servant that owed his master an insurmountable debt, and the master forgave him. But then he went to his fellow servant who owed him just a little and had his fellow servant thrown into prison. He had been forgiven a great amount, but he wouldn't forgive the little amount. He had taken for granted that he deserved forgiveness, not that he should give it. We need to have the attitude of forgiving others, not holding over somebody else a refusal to forgive. And then, if we have that attitude, we also need to remember when we fast. Now, notice it says, it doesn't say if, it says whenever. That's saying there's going to be times when we fast. Now, what is fasting? Well, the Greek word there means not to eat. Nystia is the Greek word that will not be on the test. There's not going to be like in some classrooms. You have to pass the exit ticket to leave the classroom. No, it means not to eat. But basically, it means to deny yourself something. And a fast can be a partial fast. Daniel, in chapter 10 of Daniel, he did a fast and he didn't have anything ordinary, out of the ordinary. And he deprived himself of the fancy foods. Well, there can be total fasts or there can be partial fasts. In ancient times, some people thought that demons entered you through the food you ate. So if you were feeling demon oppressed, you wouldn't eat because you didn't give the demons some more food in. That's not what scripture is. Other people think and have thought that if you fast, God owes you one. If I don't eat that meal, that gives me one good check mark before God. No. Our fasting does not give us a better benefit from God. The fasting is for our benefit. We're denying ourselves to see that things are more important to us than eating. In the Old Testament, Moses, Samson, Samuel, Hannah, David, Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel, and many others fasted. In the New Testament, Anna, John the Baptizer, Jesus, Paul, John the Baptizer's disciples all fasted, and many others. There's only one commanded fast in the Bible, and that's on the Day of Atonement for Israel. It's also known as Yom Kippur. That's the only place, Leviticus 16:29 and Leviticus 23:27, the only commanded fast, one day a year, for the nation of Israel to remember what God has done and to deny themselves. Well, we're talking about here, when you fast, how to fast properly. Jesus has been addressing the hypocrites and the hypocritical attitude and actions of the Pharisees. Now remember, Hypocrite is a Greek word that means mask wearer. They're putting on a show. And Jesus has talked about how they've been hypocritical in their praying, in their giving to others, and now he's talking about in their fasting. The Pharisees, according to Luke, fasted twice a week. And they fasted generally on Monday and Thursday. Now, the Pharisees said they fasted on Monday and Thursday because they said that's the 2 days when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. But during the time of Jesus, Monday and Thursday, or actually Tuesday and Thursday, excuse me, were the 2 days that were market days. The most people were in town because that's when everything was brought into the farmer's market to sell and buy things. And there was a larger audience. So on Tuesday and Thursday, they could be seen by more people. And Jesus says, when you fast, don't do it to be seen by people. If you're doing it to be seen by people, you have your reward. People saw you. And don't look so downcast. Don't put your face all out of shape to show, oh, look at how I'm denying myself. Don't you feel sorry? Aren't I righteous? I'm fasting. Jesus said, don't do it that way. If you're doing it to be seen by people, you got your reward. But do your fasting that only God knows, to be seen by God. Now, that doesn't mean other people can't know you're fasting. It says, don't do it for show. Let your actions be done to be seen by God. David, when the child that Bathsheba conceived from his relationship with Bathsheba became sick, he fasted. When Abner died, David also fasted. Many times in Scripture, people fasted because of sorrow. And we even know that attitude today. When we're very sad, when we're sorrowful, when something terrible has happened, we don't feel like eating because there's something more important. And that's true in Scripture too. In Jonah chapter 3, Jonah, the reluctant prophet, God had sent him to Nineveh. And if you do the VeggieTales, they're the ones that slapped everybody with fish. That's not what they did. But in the VeggieTales, to make it children appropriate, they're the fish slapping people. They were very evil people. They did all kind of evil things in Nineveh. And Jonah didn't think they deserved to be saved. So when God said, head northeast to Nineveh, he headed, got on the first boat heading west. Not that he thought he could get away from God. He said, maybe I can make myself inconvenient enough, God can find somebody closer to do it. Because when the storm came up and the other sailors figured out it was Jonah, he said, I serve the God of all the earth. He knew he couldn't get away from God. Make a short story short. They threw Jonah overboard. God had a special fish prepared for him. Some say it was a whale. It could have been a whale. But all we know is God had this fish waiting for Jonah. It could have been a one-of-a-kind, created at the moment for Jonah. Sped him to the shores, vomited him out. Now think about this. You're down in Galveston fishing. This big fish sticks his head up. Yeah! Out walks a guy. He goes, repent. What are you going to do? Yeah. Nineveh got the idea. They fasted. They even had their animals put on sackcloth and ashes. This guy is serious. God is serious about what this Jonah says. We're going to repent. Well, the nation, the city of Nineveh fasted because they were confronted with their sin, and their prophet that was sent to them got through to them. I don't know if he still had seaweed hanging off of him when he got into Nineveh or not, but they responded with fasting, recognizing their sinfulness before God, and God withheld his judgment for a while. Interesting fact, historians used to say Nineveh didn't exist. It was just an Old Testament fable until they found the ruins of Nineveh. So you can go to where Nineveh used to be. They say it's just got to be a little town. Can't be as big as the Bible says. Till they found how big the town was. Just like the Bible says. Well, fasting. We are not to be like the hypocrites. Don't do your righteous acts to be seen by people. Do it to be seen by God, because God knows your true motives. You can fool other people. The Pharisees were fooling other people with their giving to the poor, with their prayers to be seen in public, having little bells on their robes so you can hear them coming. So, oh, here comes a righteous person. No, they were doing things to be seen by people. God's the one who should be our intended audience. We need to have a different attitude. Wednesday, we're going to look at where are your riches? Now, I used to say you've never seen a hearse towing a U-Haul. I had to change it because somebody found a hearse towing a U-Haul. You'll never see a hearse in a funeral procession towing a U-Haul. There was a funeral home that was moving from one location to another, so they used a U-Haul. Hearses do have trailer hitches on them because they use that bracket to beef up the suspension, but you can't take anything with you. Your riches need to be sent ahead of you. And Jesus is going to talk about store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You don't have to worry about anybody breaking into stealing. You don't have to worry about mildew. You don't have to worry about tarnish. There's no need for Tarnex or CLR in heaven. Nothing rushes or tarnishes. There's no need for that spray bleach to get rid of the mold and mildew. You don't have that in heaven. Everything's perfect in heaven. Where are your riches stored? One of the riches we store in heaven is the souls of people that we tell about Jesus who are going to be there with us. There's a song that goes, thank you. And the story is about a guy that taught a Sunday school class. He died, went to heaven, and there was all kind of people coming up telling him, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Ron Howe has been telling people about Jesus since he became a Christian. He never stopped. And there are going to be many people in heaven because he told them. How many people are you telling? You don't always see the response. Sometimes you're the one that plants the seed. Sometimes you're the one that waters. And sometimes you're the one that harvests the crop to see someone says, yes, I want Jesus. but we're all told to go and tell. We can't make anybody accept the truth, but we can tell them the truth. Depart to serve is over our exit door. Depart to serve Jesus. That doesn't mean serve lunch. You can do that too, but serve Jesus. Not to be seen by people, but to please the God who's forgiven you. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for everything you've done for us, for what you've forgiven us. Let us forgive others. Let us not do actions to be seen by people who think we're religious, but let us do our actions because of our love, our gratitude, and our thankfulness to you. In Jesus' name.